Okay, we continue now with Baba Basra Daf Pei, and we are on Daf Pei Amud Aleph, the next Mishnah, as we continue discussing umdinas of when someone sells a certain item, what is included in the item, what is the kavana, and we start with Halokeach Peros. So says the Mishnah. Halokeach Peros, Shovach Mechavero. If someone buys Peros Shovach, what are Peros Shovach? So a Shovach, we know, is a chicken coop. What are Peros Shovach? The offspring, the what is produced by the chicken coop. So we, the Mishnah assumes that it is some of the birds that are produced by the chicken coop. So how what are you allowed to take? What are you not allowed to take? So says the Mishnah, Mafriach Brecha Rishona. One has to leave over the first brood that is produced. The Rashbam explains the Metzius, that when birds, when the doves produce offspring, so the first offsprings need to stay with them, or else they won't function properly as doves. So after they have the first two that are produced, and the Rashbam goes through that they produced two, a male and a female, every month. So as long as you leave the first ones with the mother, so then the rest of them one is able to take. But one is not able to take the first broods that are produced, because then that would basically not be allowing the mother to continue her reproduction in the normal way in the Shovach, and that would be destroying the Shovach, and that was never in the contract. The contract was taking the Peros Shovach and not the Shovach, and that is why you have to leave the first ones that come out. That's Peros Shovach. We're going to get to Peros of other items as well, but first we focus on the Peros Shovach. Ask the Rishonim, we just had on yesterday's daf, Ein Ada Makna Dover Shelo Bala Olam. Right, so the question is, what about here? There are no birds that are produced yet. So how is it that right after the Gemara had a discussion explaining the previous Mishnah about Davar Shelo Bala Olam, so how here could we say that the birds are produced? That's the Nemuki Yosef's question, and other. Says the Nemuki Yosef here on Daf Mem Amabez, so the easy answer could be that this is according to the Mandamar of Adamakna Davar Shelo Bala Olam. That's always an option, according to Rabbi Meir. But says the Nuki Yosef, Afilu Mandamar Ein Adamakna Davar Shelo Bala Olam, Bikom Makom, Hecha She'enon Chozrin Verotzin L'kayim HaMekach, Sarech Hatana Lashminan Hadin. Says the Nuki Yosef, well, let's say they don't want to retract. Let's say they make a deal, and they make an agreement, and they don't want it to retract. So then this is the halacha. In other words, we can agree that we'll be makne davar shelo bala olam, even though mekra did, it doesn't work. Hecha she'enon chozrin v'rotzin l'kayim ha'mekach, sarech hatana lashminan hadin, which that alludes to something else. When we say enon d'makne davar shelo bala olam, does that mean the whole thing falls away? It's null and void? Or that you're not obligated to keep your agreement. But if you keep your agreement, it still goes back to the original agreement. So it's clear for the Nemuki Yosef that something did happen. If they want to keep it, they want to keep their word by it. Explains that Yelas HaShachar. Should be divrei Nemuki Yosef Nira. Delamanda Amra Ein Ada Makna Davar Shelo Bala Olam Velo Chal HaKinyin Mikol Makom Tzrichin L'Kayim Diburam. Do whatever you want. If it's not connected to the original agreement, it's just, yeah, you could do whatever you want, right? But it's not that it's goes from the original agreement that they had. So then what will be the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah must mean, even though really lo chala kinyan, but still their words of committing to each other would have significance in terms of having to fulfill it. So Muki Yosef says, basically in Achinami, you're right, Eidam Makazav Shabbala Olam, but if they choose not to be Choser Bo, then it can continue. Number one. The other answer could be, as the Yad Ramah says here, and as the Chilukim were given earlier, maybe this is not a totally Davar Shelo Bala Olam. What do we have, Davar Shelo Bala Olam? We had things that are totally don't flow from the item that is Bala Olam. But as we saw on yesterday's daf, if there is what's called Dekel Leperosav, if there is, I sell you the tree, Legabe, its fruit that are going to come, so then that would be okay. At least according to some of the opinions of Ein Adam Akhada Davar Shelo Bala Olam. And that seems to be the Rambam Shita as well. That's what the Yad Ramah says here, but that's what the Rambam seems to say too. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, in Perach of Gimel, where the Rambam talks all about Ein Adam Akhada Davar Shelo Bala Olam. The Rambam says there, Makne Adam Aguf Leperosav. A person be Makne an item Leperosav. regarding its future fruit. Bein b'mechar, bein b'matana, bein b'manash chemira. Ve'ein zemach ledover shlobaloam. Shahare guf matsui v'hikna l'peiros. This is a fascinating context which does not have any parallel probably in other legal systems. If you hold to the principle that you can't be makne a future, something that if you hold that you can be makne a future, something that's not here, then fine. But if you say that you cannot be makne davar shel bala olam, but if you formulate it in a way that is bala olam something, then that would be good enough. So that's what happened. That's what's dekel leperosav. It's the future items, that, but legabe, or the item that's here, legabe, its future effects. But I latched on to something that is present, that is in reality. That's dekel leperosav. Halamaze dome, lesocher bayis osadame chavero, shlohikna lo haguf, ela hanoyes haguf. The Rambam's comparison. I rent you of an apartment. Am I giving you an apartment? No, I'm giving you the hana'a of using the apartment. That's not here yet. That's only potentially here. That's good enough. That's called that the Rambam's mashal of deka leperosav, that it's a future benefit that flows from the item that is here. Right? So too, that's deka leperosav. Kate said, and he says, Shemacharo nasan sadza leperoseha, bein lizman katsuv, bein kol yamechayov, whether you give it for a certain amount of time or all one's life, shel mocharo shel okeach, vuadin lemocharo nosit ilan leperosav, o rachel legizasa, shearings, o behema veshivcha levladoseha, babies born, o evil maiseyadav, bakol memkara o matanaso kayamim. All of them. And then you get into some other trickier items. What about an eved regarding its knas? That's not something that flows directly, naturally, probably, but if it happens, you know, you can look back and see the roots. And he quotes. And then he quotes, Uma hefesh yesh bein amocher karkalman zman katsuf, u bein amakne osala peroseho. He talks about other chilukim. But then towards the end of that parak, we get to our case. Hamocher, or halokeach, let's get to this one. Halokeach peroshovach mechavero, eino yachalito kol agozaloshi of yivaldu bo meata. You can't take all the broods that are born, as we said, because that would destroy the shovach. Mipnei shaha imahos barchos. If the mothers don't have the offspring there, then they're going to not be themselves, they're going to fly away. Vinimsa shehechriv es hashovach. And you will then have destroyed the shovach, and that's not in the deal. The deal is to get some of the peira shovach, not the shovach. And therefore, elo meiniach mehen kidei liyashev hashovach. The kama meiniach, and it gets to the details that we will see. And the Rambam quotes all of these, but again, it's all quoted in this parak. In this parak, which is about davar ena demaka davar shel bala olam, but deka leperosav works. That's where the Rambam quotes these cases of peiros shovach, and just the previous one, which is not in the Mishnah, which is mocher, not lokeach. And then we'll continue. Hamocher peiros shovach upeiros kaveres lechavero kana ve'ein ze mocher davar shel bala olam lefi she eno mocher yonim she yivaldu o davar she yavo lekaveres ela mocher shovach leperosav akaveres ledavsha. Shaharehu kisocher, again he gives the example. Shaharehu kisocher amas hamayim lechavero. You rent out an aqueduct to my friend. Sharinena b'chol mashayatzud ba. Harkach ze hikner lo shovach ze leperosav kamei shemachar ilan leperosav. V'din kulam kidin socher bayis lechavero kemoshe bi'arnu shunena b'chol anayos sheyesh bov. V'chein kol kiyotzi bazeh. The Rambam likes that comparison, that mashal of socher bayis and the hanah that comes from it. The Ravid is not so happy about the Rambam, maybe only if you say it beferish. Is it automatic? That's the discussion of the Rambam and the Ravid. Would it be automatic? But either way, this is the discussion on the first line. Why isn't this a problem of Makna Davar Shel Bala Olam? And in a line, remember we've discussed in the past the Hakira of the problem of being in Makna Davar Shel Bala Olam that might have influence and application as to how does Deka Leperosav solve the problem, right? Is it a problem of Smichas Das? If it's not here, I don't have full seriousness of commitment. So maybe if I can latch on to something that is here, so then that would make it better. The other side is probably works a little better with Deka Leperosav. And that is, it's a Kenyan problem. If something's not here, there's nothing for the Kenyan to be Chal on. But if there's something here, like the tree, so it has something to be chal on formally. It's not just the semantics of dekel peirosa. Okay, that is all number one. So that's peiros shovach. The production of the shovach is what I buy. So you have to leave the brecha rishona. Second case, peiros kaveres. What about the production of the kaveres, of the hive, of the honeycomb? Peiros kaveres. Rashbam, peiros kaveres shol shana achas, dvorim hanoladim min hakaveres. The bees that come out of the kaveres. So that's what I buy. Again, there's limitations here, because if I take certain bees or certain parts of the kaveres, that's going to destroy the kaveres. I'm only allowed to take the peiros kaveres. So notel gimel nechilim umesares. I'm allowed to take three swarms, three groups of the bees that were produced, and that's it. Right? Rashbam explains, Begimel's manim, mites yomam u'yud yomim zechar zed. There are different times of year that the swarms are produced, and the Rashbam quotes that different places in the world, there's different amounts and length of time. You see the Rashbam on the second wide line. V'yesha osin ad zayin v'ches pamim b'malchus yavan. In Greece, it's seven or eight times. B'malchus zu, and here in France, ruban osim gimel pamim. Bashlishi garua mikulam. Okay, different times, different ways that they are produced. But again, if somebody takes the production of the kaveres, then you have to leave some. Umisares. What does that mean, misares? Well, it's some type of cutting off or stopping. So we will have to see what that means in the Gemara. Number three. Chalos dvash. If somebody doesn't want the production of the kaveres, but the actual honeycombs. Chalos dvash. I want to take some of the honeycombs. So how much am I allowed to take? Chalos dvash. Meiniach beis chalos. I have to leave the two main honeycombs, and then I could take the other ones, because that wouldn't destroy what is left. Rashbam again explains Chalos Vash, fifth wide line, Hakaveres la'acher sha'asta peros v'yatzu hanachilim. After the swarms of bees have been produced, lochin es advash, then the honey is taken. V'asui chalos chalos is made combs, little pieces. Chalos chalos v'yesh bo yud chalos. Oh, esrim. Some have 10, some have 20. Zeh betzad zeh misha'ava, from wax. V'dvash me'urav yachad, the wax and the honey mixed together. V'amocher chalos kovarto v'lo machar es hakaveres. If I only sell some of the chalos and not the actual honeycomb, rotzehu lachnisa bibos hakshamim latzniya l'shana ba. He's going to want to use the basic item here for next year. Lasos peros. And therefore, again, there's limitations on what the buyer bought, or you can't destroy it. Hilkach mestam ashir beis chalos lus parnis lema dvorim bimos akshamim. You obviously left two for the bees to survive on during the winter, and therefore you have to leave those. Meiniach beis chalos. Again, the yesod of all the cases of the Mishnah is you have to make sure to only take what you bought. If I take more than what I bought, I took the item that will totally be destroyed. If I take more, so then I'm not allowed to take it. Zaysen, that's what is this doing in all of these prakim? Because this is all about umdenes, about if I buy something, so what is included? If we don't specify, this is the understanding. Zaysim lakutz, if I bought olives, but I didn't buy olives to use just olives, I didn't buy an olive tree to totally uproot, I bought it to use for firewood. Zaysim lakutz, meiniach shtei grofios. Again, the assumption is that I didn't buy the olive tree that it would be destroyed for the seller. He would be able to have it regenerate. So how much do I have to leave at the bottom of the tree for it to regenerate? So, shtei grofios. Either that be two branches, the Rashbam says, or two knots at the bottom of the tree. We know olives have like these balls as they grow the olive trees. So you have to leave a certain amount at the bottom in order for it to be able to reproduce itself. The Yad Ramah says here that this is only if you, as the Mishnah says, lakutz, if that was your deal. He says it's the knots from the ground. So that it could be reproduced and grow back. But that's only if you buy it in this circumstance. But if you buy it, amanas, that you're going to plant it in a different place. So then Okran, that he can take the whole thing. Because the whole point is to replanted, and therefore you would put it in a different, to take it up with its roots. L'mayin afkamina, why would somebody want to replant it and take it with its roots? So in Yanei Arla, Helchas Arla, we know that if somebody buys a tree, you plant it the first 3 years, off limits. But if I go to a mashtila, and I go to a place and I buy a tree, and he's, okay, it's more than 3 years old. You have to replant it with its root and with the dirt that it could have survived, so then you don't have to start recounting. If it's planted in a way that it's already growing and surviving by itself, that's why a person would want to replant it with all of its dirt, so that I wouldn't have to start the count of Arla again. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. The Umdin is that are related. Says the Gemara, we'll get back to Arla later, but if there's time. Vatanya, but we have a Brisa that says, back to the first case, if somebody buys against the protection of the Shovach, the Mishnah said, you have to leave the Brecha Rishona. Vatanya, Brecha Rishona, Vishnia, you have to leave even the Shnia, the second Brecha, the second brood, I thought only the first one, Stira, Amar of Kahana, Lokasha, Hala, Haliima. Depends, who are we talking about? The mother bird, let's say, or the first generation daughter bird. From the mother's vantage point, you need one, that's true, because the mother can't be alone. But once the first brood is born, in order for the first brood not to fly away, you need the second brood there to keep the first brood company. So it's really the first two broods have to be kept there in order for the Shovach to continue to exist. So that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa. So there's really no machlokas though. One is talking about it for the brood itself, Hala and Halaima. This is talking about the first one. So Mishnah Ima, so ask the Gemara, Maishti, but what's the difference then? One second. The mother bird we're talking about has the child, but has the offspring. But what about the mate of the bird? So Maishna ima dimitztavsa avrata va'azuga dishavkinan la. It's enough for the mother to have the daughter, right? The one generation offspring and zuga and its mate dishavkinan la inami. Why do we need one generation down from the first offspring to the second offspring? Right? The first offspring, go up a level. Ihinami. Titzavta a'ima va'azuka the shafkinama. Why don't you leave the mate of the first generation and the mother? What do you need a daughter, an offspring? So answers the Gemara. No. There's a difference between an offspring and its parent and a mother and its child and its offspring. Ima avrata mitztavta. Brarta a'ima lo mitztavta. The mother and the offspring, that they could have companionship and that could work. But when it comes to a daughter and a mother, it doesn't work the same way. Lo mitztavta. It doesn't work the same way. Right? We even have this in human terms. Right? The sugyas of baba machteres. Baba, if a parent is coming, right, that's the, right, ainlo, right, ainlo damim, that sugya, then you know they're not gonna come on the nefashos. So therefore, the homeowner, the child, is not allowed to kill the parent in self-defense, because you have to assume that the parent will never kill the child. By shaking it the other way, there's a special relationship between the parent love and the child, because, and that's even reflected in the offspring of the animals. Right, it's pointed out that the Vilna Gaon says that every time you want to know the root explanation of an item, you have to look at the first time it appears in the Torah. Where's the first time that love appears in the Torah? The first time somebody loves somebody or something in the Torah. First time. It's not Rivka and Yitzchak. That's the second time. Where's the first time that Ava appears? By the Akedah. Kachres bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak. Why is that? Because we learn that the ultimate, purest, unadulterated love is from a parent to a child. That's the ultimate. Even though if you might ask me, you know, spousal. Not parent. That's not eino tali b'davar, right? And it's never Rachmana litzlan broken, but that's asher ahavta es Yitzchak. It's the love between Avraham and Yitzchak. That is the purest form, and that's the ahava that is described the first time in the Torah. And that's the ahava between a parent and a child, and that even has an afkamina here by birds and an afkamina by baba machteres in that context. Why is that? By the way, the ultimate love. So we know a well-known thought of Rav Dessler, where Rav Dessler writes in his Kuntres Hanesina, Kuntres HaBechir, Kuntres Hanesina, where he talks about the Koach Hanesina. Rav Dessler says that every action that we do in life, at the root, is either Netila or Nesina. Every action that we do is either an act of taking or an act of giving. Everything, if we eat, we're taking. Everything we do is Nesina or Netina. So in there, he talks about the relationship between giving and love. He says, many think that the more you love, the more you give. I love my kids so much, so I give them everything. He says, it's just the opposite. It's the more you give, the more you love. Giving, being mashkiya, and putting in, that creates a relationship. If I spend a lot of time on a project, so I'm connected to that project. If I spend a lot of time on anything, right? I bake something, so I'm connected to that item. The more I give, the more I put in, the more I love. That's why parents love their children so much, because they put in so much to their child. The more you give, the more you love. And that's what he says. You want to develop a relationship? Give more. Right? Spouses want to make stronger their shalom bias? Give to each other. And that'll create love. I'm not feeling it, but we'll give, and then we'll feel it. Right? And then that's the ultimate love that's reflected here by the offspring. The parent organism will be comfortable with the offspring organism, while the opposite might not be true. So we get the messages about shalom bayis from doves in the Gemara. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, peiros kaveres. No, don't give the chilibu basaris. So the Mishnah said in the second case, if somebody makes the deal to leave the honeycomb, they're just going to take the swarms. They take three swarms and that's it, and then masaris. So b'mem masarsan, you're masaris them. What do we think that means? So, right, we first assume that it means, the Rashbam says, the Lashon Siris Zichrus Mashma Pshuta Shal Mishnah. We think Siris means like the Isser of Siris, the Isser of castrating an animal, right? The Isser of, so what do you mean you're Masaris them? Right, after you collect the three swarms, what exactly is the message? B'mem Masar son. We'll get back to that. So let's see, the Gemara gives two other Pshatim. No, Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Bechardal. What does it mean? Bechardal with mustard. You give them mustard seed to eat. Ami b'marav mishpeid Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Lo chardal masar son. It doesn't mean that the actual chardal causes them not to produce any more bees, and therefore they're going to go deal with the honey. That's what it seems like. Once they're not dealing with creating more swarms of bees, they'll go deal with producing honey, which was something that they would want. So lo chardal masar son ela mitoch shepien chad, but because their mouth gets bitter from the chardal, chozus va'ochlos es tufshanas, so then they go eat their honey and don't produce anymore. Right? Look at the Rashbam. Lo chardal masar son ela grama ba'alma kagarim lehu. Right, it's indirect. Why? Because they make their mouths bitter, so they have to eat the honey. V'ochlos es tufshanan umitoch sviusan, and because they are satiated from eating their honey, which they're eating because their mouths are bitter, betelos mipirya verivya v'chozros v'osos dvash. Right, they can't do both things at once. Right, they are not reproducing and with their offspring and dealing with the honey at the same time. So that is the. That is shot number one of what Cirrus here means, that Mamela, they're Nistaris, because they're not dealing with the offspring anymore. And then then it's shot number one of how one deals with making more honey and less bees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, second shot, Nota Shlosha Nechilin B'Cirrus. Cirrus here means alternating, not cutting something off, but it means you take one a swarm and you leave the next one. You take a third one and you leave the next one. So you alternate in terms when you buy the nechilim, then you alternate and you leave every other one for the kaveres to be able to continue its production. B'masdi santana, no talgim nechilim b'zacharzeh, right? But in the Bryce it says differently. No, you take three in a row. Mikan ve'elach no talachas maniach achas. And after that you start the alternating. Okay, the Isser of Siris hasn't come up in a while, but we know the Isser of Siris is an Isser Daraisa that is discussed by the Rishonim and comes up in the Gemara in various places. The Sefer Chinuch discusses this in Mitzvah Reish Tzadi Aleph, Mitzvah 291, where the Chinuch discusses it's interesting that it does not even say it beferish in the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere lotasaris. It's learned out from implication. Shalo nesaris echad mikalaminim. There is an Isser of destroying the reproductive organs of any organism. Mikol minim. Lo adam, v'lo behema, v'lo oaf. Person, animal, or bird. Shene emar, uva artzachem lo sa'asu. That's the pasuk. Don't do this in your land. Achar shezachar akasav, uma'och v'katus v'nachuch v'netok v'karus. After Abijah's emar, where it discussed all the Baali mumin of karbanos. You're not allowed to bring these karbanos. Shu nomar kulo al klei tashmish. Amar uba'ar. And it described mumen in the reproductive organs of the animals and related to the also the mumen of kohanim, as the Mishnais and Bechoros discuss, mumen of animals and mumen of kohanim. But after it lifts off all of the bali mum, uba pirish alav, but don't do this in your land. What do you mean? Don't do this. Don't create this. Kol shav artzachem lo tzasu klomar lo yaseh zos bi Yisrael. O Pirusho, Mikol Min Shabarzchem Losasu, Vechol Shabarzenu Yechlol Hada, Vavema Vechol Balechaim. The Ain Inyan Akasav, Lomar Shaloye Isser Sirus Ella Baretz. It's not limiting it to Eretz Yisrael. There's no difference of Sirus in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Even though it says Ba'artzachem, it just means in life. In Beferish, it quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Kufyud, Minayin L'Sirus Ba'adam, Shu Asur, Tamalomar, Uba'artzachem Losasu, Bachem Losasu. And this is Asur, is one of the places where the Gemara also discusses there in Shabbos Kufyud, even without kavana, even if I know that it's going to be a side effect of, let's say, a certain medicine, that's very serious, right? Side effects of certain medicines. So if it's a medicine, somebody's life's in danger, they have to take certain medicines or an operation and a side effect might be, right, nistares, then, okay, pikuach nefesh, right? Pikuach nefesh is doch holy serum, right, including serus. But if it's not, let's say it's something voluntary, something less serious, so then there's a concept of psikresha the Gemara talks about. Even if the kavana is not there, but the concept is there. The Chinuch talks about what's the shorash mitzvah, what's the tana mitzvah behind the sirus, the shorash mitzvah, lefi shashem barachu bara olamo betachlos hashleim, as Hashem created the world in a perfect unit, perfect world. Lo chaser v'lo yeser bodar mikol haroi lios bo l'shlei muso. There's nothing missing. Nothing missing in the world. Right? It's a similar idea to the Isser of Kilayim from the Ramban Ala Torah. What did the Ramban say? You're playing God. Right? You think Hashem left something out? I have to create a new being. Oh, Hashem, you missed this one. If Hashem wanted it created, so then he would have created it. Right? What are you doing? Right? It's a balance of there is creation that we have to do, v'kivshua, but there are new beings that the Ramban says, if Hashem didn't want it, so who are we? So that's what the Chinuch says here too. V'ayim eretzono, Hashem created beings in order to have the power to reproduce themselves. U'birech ba'alechayim liyosam parim v'ravim. V'gam tziva zacharim mimin ha'adam alzeh. And he commanded, Puravu, v'yalkein hamapsid klei azera, if I destroy the reproductive organs of a human, of an organism, mare benafsho, it's as if I'm saying, Hashem, I think there's enough of this line. I don't think we need any more here. What, you're deciding? You're playing God? Kemishu katz b'maisa habore, v'rotze b'ashchasas olamo hatov. Right, you're destroying the productive nature of the world, right? And that's the big, one of the big sugyas in the Rishonim is, what about women? What about nekevas? Is Sirus directly connected to the mitzvah of Puravu? Because we know only men are obligated in Puravu according to what we paskin, and not women. So would we say that Sirus is just a function of Puravu, and therefore if you're not chayiv in Puravu, then you wouldn't be chayiv? And it works in both directions, the actor and the recipient. Meaning, is there a difference between Sirus, between a man and a woman? And is there what if a woman is misaris a man? Is that any better? Or what about the recipient, right? Is there any isser of Sirus of being Masaris, a woman? Right? Is there any more leniencies when a woman gets older and wants to protect, prevent, let's say, ovarian cancer, Rahman al-Islam, right, to have her tubes tied in order to prevent problems in the future, even though, is there more leniencies, as we know there are, in terms of cases, because it's a woman. So there is a connection to Puravu in the sugya. We're not paskening it all here. We're just mentioning that the Rishonim discuss it. The Sefer Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch here discusses it, that he assumes that it's not totally on each other. V'din Sirus, eino totally b'mitzvah period v'ribya klal. Da'asav l'saris kol mine balechayim. Right? There's no mitzvah for an animal to reproduce. Right? There's no mitzvah. Ach! He says, Kavanoso da after beisha v'komine nekevas gzeres akasev u'deinam besirus. There's gzeres akasev that women might not be included in sirus, but that dafka connected to puravu. Mikamakom beisha ma'isa mitzuba period v'rivya ha'isa asura besirus mitat bitul period v'rivya. If a woman would have been commanded in puravu, then she would have also been asura besirus. Achiva deina mitzuba muteres mitat bitul period v'rivya v'esirus below zelo shayches and nekevas mitat gzeres akasev. Okay, he says they're not connected. It's a separate reason, but either way, this is the part of the issue of Sirus that comes up here in the Rishonim. It's discussed in Evan Ezer, in Simon Hay, the beginning of Evan Ezer. Okay, let's continue. So we got through the Shovach, we got through the buying of the swarms, and now we get into the Chalos Dvash. What if you wanted to buy you wanted to buy the honeycombs? Chalos Dvash, Meiniach Shtei Chalos V'chulu. So you have to leave the two, because those are the two honeycombs that the bees are going to live off of during the winter, so one is not destroying the honeycombs itself. Amar Rav Kahana, says Rav Kahana, Dvash Bikaveres, the honey in the Kaveres, Eino yotze mide macha la'oba. The honey in the kaveris of a taras base. Get the kahati is fine. Right. Chalos dvash. Sorry, I lost the place. Amar of Kahana, Dvash Bekaveris, and Yosef Bidei Bachal Olam. Honey in the honeycomb never loses its status of ma'achal. It's always food. What does that mean? It's always food. It never loses its status. Says the Rashbam, Tupshatim. Let's just read the next four lines of the words of the Gemara, and then we'll read it. Alma, Kasavar, Lo Ba'i Machshava. Right, meaning you don't need machshava. When you have food that is automatically food, I don't have to think about it for tumas ochlin. It's considered like if you have a cucumber. Okay, the cucumber, after it's attached, has to become wet with one of the seven liquids. We know that. But other than that, I don't have to think about, oh, this is a cucumber. It's ro'ila machal adam. It's automatic. So, but some items aren't so automatic. Some things might be left for non-ochel purposes. Let's say I'm leaving the honeycomb in order for the beast to eat. I'm not going to eat it. So says Rav Kahana, honey in the honeycomb, eino yoti mide macha la'olam. It's always food. Al maksava la'boy machshava. So you see from here that you don't need machshava on it. Let's see the Rashbam. Dvash. A couple lines from the bottom. Dvash. Afilu bekavarto. Honey even in the honeycomb, eino yoti mide macha. V'afal pishish eisha dvorim ochlen duvshanon. And even though there is a time that the bees eat it, afilu hachi eino yoti mide macha. Ad sheyatzehu beferish v'machal dvorim. It's always called honey, lagabe tumas ochlim, unless you come to a time where the person was maxa it, I'm not eating this anymore, I'm not eating this, this is going to be for the bees. So at that point, it's no longer matame tumas ochlim. Number one, inami, says the Rashbam, a different shot, hachi ka'amar, not afilu, but dafka. Right, the Rashbam is two pshatim. It says, dvash bekaveris. Is that even bekaveris? Of course, if it's out of the kaveris. But even the kaveris, it's automatic. And second shot is no. Dafka bekavar tohave ochel. Only in the kaveris is it called ochel. Avalim zov mi kavarto have mashke mistama. It's not macho versus non-macho, it's macho versus mashke. Is it a food? Is it a liquid? Two important deyos in the Rashbam. Is this ma'achal in contrast to mashke? Is it ma'achal in contrast to non-ma'achal? And it makes a difference. We know that dvash, as the Mishnah says in machshirin, right towards the end, machshirin is six prakim, so all the way at the end of machshirin is where you have the Mishnah of the Yad Shach Adam, the liquids. Says the Mishnah Machshirin, Vav Dalad, Shiva Mashkin Hain. There are seven liquids. Tal, Mayim, Yayin, Shemen, Dam, Chalav, Dvash, Dvorim. Right? Even though Dvash in the Torah is Dvash Tamarim, Eretz of Azchalav with Dvash, that's Dvash Tamarim. But when we say Dvash in this Yad Shach Adam, that's Dvash Bihani. That's Dvash Dvorim. That's what the list is. So you see in the Mishnah, it is Mashke. So that's where the Rashbam gets it from. While it's in the honeycomb, then it is ma'achal. It is food. Until it comes out, that's when it is called a liquid. Okay. That is 2 days in the Rashbam. If you look in Tosfos, Tosfos deals with the Rashbam's first day. Tosfos, Dvash, Pirish HaKotris, Achi Ekseil HaMachal Dvarim Beferish, Ve'ein Nira Lari, De'ein Lecha Dovar, Roi Lachila Shiyobo Shum Dovar, Achi Pasol Me'achilas Kelev. Tosfos argues with the limitation on the first day of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, once I think about the honey for the bees, it's fine. Tosa says, no. If you have a cucumber and you decide you're going to give it to your dog, all of a sudden it's not raw, it's not metami tumas ochlin anymore? No. Inherently it's food, so it's food. Fascinating, very important machlokas, Rashbam and Tosfos here, for the world of Tumas Ochlin, if I decide that the food is not going to be a food anymore. The Chashuk and Chemed here discusses, what if you have a type of, does it apply in other areas of halacha? What if you have a type of food that you're not using for food? Let's say you have a caterer. That's, you know, you have a certain food that you're going to put under, like, glass. And you're going to put some type of some item in, some enzyme in it, so it's not going to become putrid. And it's not going to rot. And you want to show everybody this thing. You have a bakery. You're not going to eat this. But you can have a fancy cake that you made. It's like 6 months old. But it's under this glass, and therefore it's staying, it's not becoming putrid. So is that Matami Tumas Ochlin? Is that chametz for Baal Yerabai Matzeh? Right? It's not edible anymore, but it looks good. Right? So this is, if just thinking about using it for a different purpose, does it lose its status of food? So you have this by chametz, you have this by tumas ochlin, right? We have it by, you have another kind, hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, hilchos yadam. We just had this at the seder, right? We know the Shulchan Aruch says that lechatchila one should use red wine, right? Zecher to the dam. What if somebody likes white wine better? Right, and they want to be behind the Shulchan Aruch. So what do? You take white wine, you put a little bit of red, to make it red. But the poskim say you should put the red in first, because if I put the white wine in first and then I dafka put the red in order to color it, that's tzvia, that's the malacha of coloring. The Gemara said, the Rishonim say ein tzvia ba'ochlin. That's only if I'm using it as food. I'm making tea on Shabbos. That's not called ochlin. I'm making iced tea, regular tea. There's no problem, because then I don't care. There's no tzvia when it comes to ochlin. But if I'm using an item not as a food, as a symbol, so then there is tzvia ba'ochlin, right? And then it'll be a problem, right? So that's why you have to put the little red in first before you put the white in. But here, this is a poor machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashbam regarding undoing the status of the ma'achal. Okay, now let's continue though. So Rav Kahana says, so if you have the honey in the beehive, eino yotze midei ma'achal la'olam. It never loses its, doesn't lose its, it's not called, it's not, doesn't lose its status of ma'achal. And we have the even or the also. Alak sever lo boi ma'achshava. Meisve, dvash bekaveres, eino lo ochev lo mashke. The Brisa says it's neither. The Brisa says it's not an ochel, it's not a mashke. Let's go with the first pshat of the Rashbam. Right, the first part of the Rashbam is that right now it's ma'achal, even though it's it might be going to the bees, but it's still called a ma'achal. Either Brisa says it's neither Amar Abaya lo nitzricha lo tzricha. Two answers. Answer number one: Amar Abaya lo tzricha elo lo osin shtei chalos. Maybe we're talking about those two chalos that are always left for the bees to live off of. That's what we're talking. That's what the Brisa talks about. That's not machal or mashke. That's automatic. Those two are automatically not food for a person. Those two that you leave during the rainy season. Answer number one. Rava says no. Different shot. Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe it's a machlokas tanaim, and it's Rabbi Eliezer. That stam dvash is different. Titham. What's Rabbi Eliezer? We have this already. This is a mishnah in Uksin. This is the third to last mishnah in all of Shas. It's also a mishnah in Shvius. But it appears in Uksin, Ditznan. We had this back a couple of prakim ago. Kaveris Tavorim. If somebody has the beehive, the honeycombs, I should say. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Harayuka Karka. This is called Karka. For what? For which purposes? The Rashbam said earlier, a couple of weeks ago, for Kinyanim. If you buy Kaveris Tavorim, you have to use a Kinyan Karka, Kesef Sharon Chazaka, or for Kinyan Aga. So it's considered Karka. Vikosvit, and that's, this is the shita of the Brisa. The Brisa that says it's not an ochel or a mashke. It's like Rabbi Elazar, who holds us like karka. It's not matami at all. Hariyuka karka, v'koser le pruzbol. And one could write a pruzbol on it. Remember we had earlier back with, this came out with Afsamachem Abbas. Going over to Samach Vav and Aleph. We discussed there, the Rashbam quoted, a machlokas between him and his grandfather. Why does a love require land in order for the Prusbol to be written on? Because of the Prusbol only if the Lova has land. So it was a machlokas, Rashbam and Rashi there. Either because only with land is that, usually people have land, and Milsa de lo Shricha lo Gazer Beit lo Tikun Rabbanan, Rabbanan are only misakin by most cases, number one. Or number two, if somebody has land, it's Ki'ilu Nigve. And that's how Prusbol works. Right? That's the Rashbam earlier. Vahani milik sheyesh lo karka lelove. I'm reading Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. The dummy ki'ilu yesh lo malve mashkon. To be mashkon lo shayach lo yigos. Shekol mashi yuchlu chachamim lesakein. Kidei shelo yir nira okren davar menatorei eskinu kein. The Rabbanan, even though they made the takana of Prusbol, they wanted to make it as little akira as possible. So therefore, if it's a mashkon, if it's as if ki'ilu is collected already partly, so then that solves the problem of Prusbol. And of Shvita's Karka, and that's why they did that. That he says himself, and then he says, Rabbi Zakeni Zatzal, I learned this from my grandfather, Rashi, Milsa de Shricha Takini Rabbanan. Right? The only one we're talking Milsa de Shricha. Okay, but either way, says the Gemara. So it goes, La Prusbo, Veinam Kabbalah's Tumma, Bimkoma, and it's not Makabal Tumma, Bimkoma, because it's considered Karka, Vaharod, the Bimana Bishabis, Chayev Chatos, and if somebody takes out of it on Shabbos, there's an Isser Daraisa of Kotzer. Oker Dover Migidula. We also discussed that there. The Malacha of Kotzer. That's all the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rachachabim Omrim. No. Ain't causing a well, it's not called karka, ve'inaka karka, umakabelas toba bibkoma, farodu men of Shabbos, pater. Period. So, machlokes tanoim about this. So, this is the second answer, right? We had a kasha. So we have to keep the two answers in mind. For the following Gemara, Rav Kahana made a statement that the honey inside the kaveres is called ma'achal. Either Bryce says it's not ma'achal. Two answers. Either the Bryce is about those two honeycombs that the bees live off of, or it's a Elazar shita. Rav Elazar holds that as karka, and that's why it's not ma'achal or mashke, but Rav Kahana would hold like the rabbanan. Period. Amr Rabbi Elazar, my time of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar the Amora asks, what's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer the Tana? Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Vayehonasan, Vayitbol Osa Biyaros Hadvash. He dipped his stick in the honey. We'll review that story again in a second. But he dipped the honey in the Ya'aros Dvash. What do you mean? Just he dipped the honey. He dipped the stick in the dvash. What do you mean? The ya'aros? Ya'ar is a forest. V'chimayin ya'ar eitzal dvash elalom alecha. Ma ya'ar hatolich mered b'shabes chayev chatas is comparing the honey to the forest. Just like the forest, if I rip something out of a forest, a branch, then I'm chayev. It is for the rice of kotzer. Af dvash or mered b'shabes chayev chatas. So to the honey is compared to the ya'ar. Period. Fine. Just to remember the story where Yehonasan was taking from the honey illegally, right? His father, remember Shaul had made a Bahia Yomu, was in Shmuel Aleph and Perak Yedalet. Yehonasan goes with his Nosei Kalev without telling anybody, and he goes and he wants to see if they're going to be able to defeat the enemy by the Plishtim. So he goes and they use the Yomu Yehonasan Onar Nosei Kalev. They see the Plishtim over there down the road and they say, you know what, let's do a test. Let's see if this is going to work. Let's see if we're going to be successful. He says, "Ula yasa Hashem lanu ki ein Hashem matzor lahoshia baravo b'maat." Hashem has the power. Vayomer lo nosei kelav. Asei kol Hashem b'lavavecha. Nitela chinniim chal kelavecha. Okay, I'm with you. What do you think we should do? So he says, "Okay, let's ask for Hashem for a sign." So let's call him and say, "Hey, what are you doing there, Plishti? Im kol yomer leinu domu achegi aleichem." If they say, "Wait there, whoa, don't move, we're coming." So v'yamanu tachteidu v'lo na'al aleichem. We'll know that that's a bad sign. If they say, stay there, we're coming, that's not good. Or if they say, wait, who is that? Come over here right now. If they say, come over here, come up to us, then we know that's good. That means we're going to go and we're going to conquer. And the latter happened, and that's why Yehonasan went, and he was able to start the Balagan with the Plishtim, and then the rest of the Bnei Yisrael came. But on the way, as we know, Shaul, while they were fighting, made a cherim. He said, if anybody eats from anything the whole day, he said, everybody has to fast until we finish this battle. But but Yehonasan wasn't there, and Shaul didn't know that. And that's why later on, Yehonasan took some of the honey in this pasuk. Right, took some of the honey from the honeycomb, and Shaul finds out about it and says, "Uh-oh, Chayim said." Everybody says, "What are you talking about? Chas v'shalom, he was the one that brought the whole pidyon for us." Right? He says, Shaul asks, "Piktu daru mihalach meimanu? Who took?" And Bnei Yisrael ended up saving him, right? Because he was the source for the entire salvation. It's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim on that story. Isn't this nichush? Right, the Israel losa nachashu. You can't ask Hashem for a sign and base your, future actions based on the sign. Isn't this the Isra of Nichush? So the Rishonim in Maseches Chulin asked this, where this comes up. But the Radak right here in Shmuel discusses it, but I'll read it from the Ran. The Ran, Felicia Ran in Chulin, deals with this, and he says, as many Rishonim say, there's no Nichush if something makes sense. If something's logical, right, it's if it rains today, I'm not going on the teal. But if it doesn't rain, I'm going to go on the teal. What, that's Nichush? Oh, you can't do that. No, that's logical. If it's raining, I don't want to go on the teal. And if it's... So too, here too. If they say, hey, wait there, we're coming, that means they're confident. That means they're brave. And therefore, we're not going to start up with them. But if they say, wait, who are you? Come over here. They don't want to move. They're scared. They're in their positions. So that's a reflection that they're scared. And therefore, we'll be able to overcome. That's what the Ron says. Yonasan ben Shaul, shebikish lakos machane plishtim, milvad lokach ze simen la'atzmo, shem yomro alu eleinu, yehi nira shehem yureyim mima'arav, ubechayotze bazeh, batach Yonasan begburaso, shuvan osekelev yifgu'u bahem, shekemen hagol shalolam, sheshtayim ashlosho, bir elev, yanisu harbeim, That's the Ran in Chul in Daf Tzadi Hey Amid Beis. But that's the Radak quotes that idea also on Sefer Shmuel. Okay, either way, that's a little bit of background over there on the Shmuel Aleph story. Now we continue. Meisve says the Gemara, okay, we're still asking the Kasha. We had the two answers. The two answers are how Rav Kahana works with the Braisa as follows. Dvash hazav mikavarto eino lo ocha v'lo mashke. Another Braisa, dvash that flows from its kaveres, if it flows out, it's not ochel or mashke. So bishlamala abaya nicha. According to the first answer, according to Abaya, who says that inside it's referring to the two chalos, so I understand this is how he understands the Braisa. Why? Because Rashbam. Bishlam ala abaya tamuki dvash kaveres bishdei chalos, what we said before is talking about the two chalos. So here also it's talking about the two chalos. Inside it's not an ochel or a mashke. And here it says, also fitting in. Ela la Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, who says you don't learn it as two chalos, it's a kasha to Rav Kahana. Because even if you learn it like your Eliezer, while it's inside, but when it comes out, it should be mashke. So hazav ela Rava Kasha. So two answers. Amar Zvid go to Zav al Gabi Kli Mos. Maybe as it flowed out, it went onto a disgusting kli, so it never got the status of ochel. Right? Even inside, that was like Rebbe Elazar's shita. It's not ochel yet. When it come out, if it fell onto something disgusting, it also never got the status of ochel, and therefore it's not a problem. Or Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Kol Shezov Al Gabi Kishkesin. It went onto Kishkesin, little pieces of wood. Also, it's not roy to use, and therefore even if it flowed out, it never gets the status of ochel. Where does this come up? Also in Hilchos Shabbos, right? We know one is not allowed to squeeze liquid out of a fruit on Shabbos, but special heter in the Gemara, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, if I squeeze mashke onto ochel, if I squeeze a lemon onto fish on Shabbos, that's mutter. Why is that mutter? If I squeeze a lemon into hot tea, that's an isser, it's an isser. It's a drabanan. It's not the first category of squeezing fruit. But if I squeeze it onto fish, why? Because it never gets the status of a mashke. While it's in the lemon, it's a machal. While it's on the fish, it's a machal. If it's into tea or into an empty bowl, that's mashke. Right, and therefore there's a big difference between the two. Same thing here, right? Never gets the status, according to Rebbe Elazar, of the item. Meisvei, Dvash Bekavarto. Again, each of these are huge topics. We're just touching on them as we continue. Dvash Bekavarto, says the Gemara. Dvash in its kaveris. Eino lo ocha v'lo mashke. Chishev alav la'achila. But the second that I think that I'm going to eat it, metami tumas ochlin l'mashkin, metami tumas mashkin. If I think about that I'm going to eat it, I'm going to use it, it's metami tumas mashkin. While still inside, if I'm going to eat it, it's metami tumas ochlin, while still inside. L'mashkin, metami tumas mashkin. If I think I'm going to dip it or use it as a mashke. So again, here, Machshava makes a difference. So bishlama la abaya nicha. According to Abaya, that is talking about the two chalos, then fine. I understand, because the second I decide I'm not going to leave it for the bees, then memela, it becomes an ochal or a mashke. Ela la rava kasha. But according to Rava, it's a kasha. If it's Rebbe Eliezer shita, then it's karka. Doesn't matter what I think. You can't think about karka as metaltalin and then give it power to become tame. If a fruit, if an apple is still attached to the tree, it can't become tummy. It doesn't matter what I think about. Right? Certain items cannot become tummy while it is attached. Says the Gemara, Amlecha Rava Taritzachi. This is how the Braisa should be understood. Chishe lav la'achila eino matame tumas ochlin. Lamashkin eino matame tumas lashkin. Put in an eino there. Meaning it's switch the girsa. It's an eino. It's not yes. It's no. Tani kavasi the Rav Kahana dvash mekavarto matami tomas ochlin shalob machshavas. That price is like Rav Kahana. Period. Zaysim lakutz meniach shtei grofios. If I buy the olive tree to cut down, I have to leave the two bottom branches or not? Tana rabanan halokechi lemechaveru lakutz magbia menakarka tava vakotes. If I buy a tree for my friend in order to cut for firewood, so again, I assume that means that he wants the tree. And I'm just using it to cut for wood, and therefore I have to leave a certain amount for it to regenerate itself. So I have to leave a tefach from the ground and then cut. But different amounts for different trees. Besulas hashikma, gimel tvachim, I have to leave. Sadon hashikma, beis tvachim. Bikanim ubikfanim, for reeds or for vines, mena pakak v'lamala, from the knot towards the bottom, up. Bitakalim ubarazim, chofer umasharesh, by deckle trees or by arazim, by cedars, I could go down and dig out the roots. Lafisha ink is a machlif. It's not going to regenerate anyway. Once you cut it, and therefore, mistama, he's selling you the whole item. He doesn't want it to regenerate. Says the Gemara, Upsulat HaShikma Gimel Tvachim Ba'inan. By Upsulat HaShikma, you need three Tvachim. But we're a mini, but we learned that a Mishnah in Shvius ain't Kotzim Upsulat HaShikma B'Shvius. You're not allowed to cut it in Shvius, Mipnei Shehi Avoda. That is the Isser of Avoda's Karka in Shemitah. The Rashbam sounds like this is an Issa Daraisa. That is a major discussion in the Rishonim, whether Zomer, pruning, is an Issa Daraisa in Shemitah, or an Issa Darabanan. The Rashbam on the fourth wide line calls this a Suffolk Isser Daraisa Lachumra. Right, that's what we're gonna get to. But either way, the Mishnah says, you can't cut it during Shemitah, because that's called working the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kedarko Aser. You're not allowed to cut it and work it normally. Ela Magbia, Yud Tvachim Akotzeitz, either cut it with leaving 10 tfachim, because that's not going to improve it. O gomeim me'im ha'aretz, or cut it at ground level. So what do you see from there? Me'im ha'aretz u'takashi, cutting at a ground level, it hurts the tree. Ha'idach malila, but anything above ground level would be okay. So what do you need? Why did our b'risa say you need 3 tfachim? Anything above ground level should have to leave. So Amar Abayo, Gimel Tvachim Malila. Gimel Tvachim is good for it for sure. Me'yom Aretz Vadekashila. Ground level, cutting it equal to the ground is for sure not good for it. Mikan Ve'elach Lo Makshi Kashila V'lav Ilu Yilei Malila. In between, somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle, if you leave in between 0 and 3 Tvachim. So Gabi Shviyas Avdina Midid Vadekashila. So by Shemitah, you do something that for sure will be difficult for it. Why? That's what the Rashbam says. Safek Daraisa L'chumra. You have to do it with Safek Daraisa because you're not sure. So you have to be Machmir. Gabi Mekachu Memkar. We're not talking about Isurim. We're talking about what's the umdana of selling. Avdina Midid Vadi Mailila. So you do something that for sure will help the tree for sure. It will be able to grow back. And therefore, the Rashba's lashon here is hamos mechaver lavaraya. So therefore, you have to leave the most in the hand of the mocher. What for sure would grow back? Again, sorry, the rice of lachumer is also a huge topic. Machlokas Rambam Rashba, whether that's a din d'arayis or a din d'rabanan, the first Shmaitza discusses it. But we'll leave that for now. Bitzkalim u'barazim. When it comes to those trees, chover misharis v'shein gives on machlif. Those don't regenerate anyway. The erez gives on machlif. The erez, the cedar, does not regenerate once you cut it. V'hadar shebichia bar lulaini. May dechsev sadek katamar yifrak erez bavanon yisge. What does the pasuk mean? In Tehillim, im nomar tamar lama nemar erez. V'lim nomar erez lama nemar tamar. Why are tzaddikim compared to palm trees and to cedar trees? Ilo nemar erez lo nemar tamar. If you only said erez, ha'isi omer. Ma erez ain't Oseperos, ain't af tzaddik, ain't oseperos. I would have thought a cedar doesn't have any fruit on it, so a tzaddik also doesn't produce fruit. What does that mean? The Marsha says, maybe produce fruit in Olam Haba, a different pshatim about what fruit means. Lekach nemar tamar, that's why you compare tzaddik to a tamar to show that a tzaddik produces fruit. V'im nemar tamar v'lo namar erez, ha'isi omer ma tamar, ain't gizo machlif, af tzaddik ain't gizo machlif. Just like a tamar doesn't regenerate itself, so to, right, we said it, by hearts of palm, you kill the tree, doesn't regenerate itself. Av tzaddik ein gizo machliv, l'kach nemar erez. Question marks, you see from that discussion that an erez does reproduce itself. So how can we say not? There's a lot of types of cedars. Kidurava baravuna, damarava ravuna, amri beirav, yud mini arazim hein. There are 10 types of cedars. Shenemar, attained by midbar, erez, shita, vahadas, ve'etz, shemen, asim, v'gomer. And we say each one, erez, arza. That's the type of erez tree. Shita, tor, nita, a pine tree. Hadas, asa. Eitz, shemen, afarsama. Brosh, barsi. Tidar, shaga. These are all descriptions of these erez. Vitashur, shurbina. So those are all the erez trees. Says the Gemara, Hani Zayin Havi. Those are only 7. I thought you said there were 10. Kiasar of Dimi, Amar, they added on 3 more. Hosif Olein, Alonim, Almonim, Almogim. And what are those? Alonim are Butni, Almonim are Bluti, Almogim are Kisita, some type of Karo. Igad Amri, or different 3s. Aronim, Armonim, Almogim. Aronim, Ari, Armonim, Dulvi, Amogim, Kisisa. Right? All the Maisa, 10 types of Eris trees. Some of them reproduce, some of them don't reproduce. And again, the Marsha goes into here the symbolism of a tzaddik. What does it mean, gizo machlif? What does it mean, producing peros? He talks about, obviously, this talks about Olam Haba. Talks about he never stops growing. The influence that he has, ain gizo machlif, the hashpa that he has. So that is that. Okay, for the next couple of days, we're going to be putting up from the last cycle over the next week or so, and then B'Hashem, we'll get back to regular schedule after Yom Tov. Okay, we'll stop here.